Recording has started. All right, take your Bibles tonight. Go to Acts chapter 26. Blessed to be back once again and to hold forth the scriptures for the second night in a row. It's a bit unusual, but
yeah,
it's a blessing and a blessing. Mm-hmm. Well, the other night we looked at some things pertaining to God's vision in our lives. And that's just so important as born-again ones to fully realize what that is. So tonight I wanted to share some things that probably go right along with that. A few months back in the summer, Barty and I shared on a subject that we called Living the Mystery and Moving Forward. And what's next? And there was a quote by Dr. Werwell that we kind of utilized. And I want to read that to you to kind of get things rolling this evening. History has honored great men and women throughout time for their deeds, for their contributions to society, for the nations they have conquered, for the scientific discoveries they have made, for the contests they have won. Those achieving the highest distinction have received medals hung around their necks, parades held in their honor, buildings named after them, and recognition in halls of fame. A far greater honor remains, however, than the awards and accolades men can bestow. The highest authority decrees the greatest homage. God Almighty will confer the crowns of highest award to those who have truly distinguished themselves in His eyes when they stand before Him someday. In that day, men will not be decorated for winning military battles, building empires, saving the environment, or winning ball games. Our God has reserved His esteemed tribute for those individuals who have disciplined and dedicated themselves to rightly dividing the word of truth, and who have sacrificed their lives to serve the bread of life to mankind. He also commands His people today to likewise give honor to whom honor is due. Going back to what we looked at the other night, this is God's vision for each of us, to rightly divide His word and to walk according to His will or His intense desire, to walk in newness of life. But in order to do that, we need the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. So I've entitled this sharing for tonight, Enlightening Our Vision. All right, so we're in Acts chapter 26. And in verse 18 it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is Jesus talking to Paul. And you can read it in the context that he's exhorting Paul, kind of giving him a charge. Verse 16 says, but rise up, Paul, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. You know, and that purpose is to open their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've alluded to this many times, but just because you don't have the REV period in front of your name, that doesn't mean you're not a minister. You are a minister. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this grace administration, grace of God superabounds to every person that is born again. Completely, fully, 100%. You have a very special and a very dynamic purpose in this ministry of the one body. And your sphere of influence reaches far beyond the room in which you're sitting in. Not just the people here, but your co-workers, your extended family members, your this, your that, many, many people who your lives touch. So with that being said, you know, we're looking to build a family. We want more children. Lots of kids.
All
we
right.
want a big old family. Well, God does anyways. But what a great joy and privilege it is to be able to do that, to walk. But to do that, and to walk spiritually minded, we need the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so that we can see what the heck is going on. Because we can see with the five senses and we can see with our physical eyes, but there's a spiritual set of eyes and an understanding that only God can really give to us. And that's what we need to really be successful. Because we know that there are a lot of voices and a lot of technology and a lot of different kinds of information coming at us more than ever before. So we need our spiritual eyes to be able to walk spiritually minded. All right, let's take a look at Lamentations chapter 3. All right, Lamentations.
I haven't been there in a while or so.
That's right. You've got to find it.
It's there somewhere. After Jeremiah.
Yes, it is. Lamentations 3. There we go. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Take a deep breath. Every day you start all over again. We're not consumed by whatever failures, mistakes, whatever shortcomings, whatever things that may have fallen below your level of expectation, which I'm sure are many. At the beginning of a new day, they're all new with a clean slate. And those mercies are new every day. I want to talk about something. I want to talk about the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. But mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. And it's by God's grace that we are empowered to really live out the vision of what God has in store for us. We talked a lot about vision the other night, but what is it that is going to enable us to practically live out the vision that we have, see, and have such a great desire to do? It's only going to be by God's grace. It's not going to be by our own fleshly ability, talent, or great personality. Our sense of humor can only take us so far. But God's grace, God's ability to empower us and strengthen us beyond our human ability. And that's what God has placed in each and every one of us. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. A lot of these verses are going to be familiar to you. I'm actually going to pick it up on the heels of chapter 5 and verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sinneth reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, shall we continue to miss the mark? Do we want to prove to God that we understand his grace so much that we're just going to go out and live life however we want because it's grace? Yeah. Is that not what this is reminding us of? That there's a new way to live? All right, verse 2 says, "Well, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk," what? "In newness of life. When Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ arose, we arose. When Christ ascended, we ascended." That's what identification is all about. We are fully identified in the completed and finished work of Jesus Christ. And it goes on, it says, even so, also we should walk in newness of life. Well, new life every day, new start, new beginning. God can work with us because God has extended his grace to us, especially now in this administration. So we walk, but we walk in his power, his strength, and his mercy. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, Paul came to this great awareness that, you know, in his life and in his ministry, that he was where he was because of the grace of God. You know, I am what I am, who I am, where I am, and my purposes are fulfilled in this life because of the grace of God. You know, God's divine favor placed upon you, upon me. And guess what? We can't do anything to earn it. It's just there. So maybe the opening of our eyes and the opening of the eyes of our hearts starts with understanding more about grace, the strengthening, and the power that comes to us so freely. You know, we're co-conditioned to work for everything. That's what we're conditioned to think. Yeah, but in reality, you don't get a paycheck unless you work. But God wants to give. You know, we want to be those receptacles and not try so hard to prove our worth to ourselves or anyone else, that we are open to receiving from God and just simply recognizing that it's coming from him. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, Jesus Christ put himself in that position to sacrifice himself, it says here, by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Remember when he was growing up? Isn't there there's a great section in the Gospels that talks about how he grew up in stature mm-hmm. and in the grace of God? Mm-hmm. He understood that God was working with him and teaching him and helping him to understand that it's not about me. So not about me. It's about what God is able to do with me in helping me to accomplish that which he would like for me to do. Now, there's a song that we're going to be listening to in just a few minutes called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And I think that the song really enraptures what our heart's cry should be. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to understand you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to be like you. That's the heart of Christ in you. And that's the desire, that was the desire of Christ. That desire is our desire. I do want to throw out a couple things tonight. Perhaps these are ways to further our heart's desire, opening our eyes. So let's go to Psalm 119. You know, David is just a prime example of someone who craved a great understanding of who God was. You know, he wasn't perfect. He got himself into some lustful situations here and there. But anyways, you know, teach me thy ways, O Lord. Help me, lead me, direct me. Well, if you don't have the hunger that you think you should have, guess what? You can ask. You can ask God for a greater hunger. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know, many people don't know how hungry they are until they put themselves in the environment of being able to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, just like, for example, if you know, when you go to the best Italian restaurant and have the best Italian food for the very first time, you know, you automatically want to go back to that place and just have more and more of it. All right, let's jump way down to verse 129. Verse 129 says, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now check this one out. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. And does that sound like hunger?
Mm-hmm.
And what about thirst? Kind of go together. You know, sometimes we have that inner craving for spiritual food, but sometimes we don't get there because the enemy's main goal is to keep us from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, he's successful. But it's a spiritual battle, and that's why we sometimes have to literally fight to get to the Word, because we know it's our spiritual food. You know, didn't Satan have a conversation with Jesus Christ about this at one point?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Christ's response was? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, seek him and prepare your heart. Number two, converse with him. And number three, listen and obey. You get alone with God and you tell him what's exactly on your heart. You know, God needs us to be proactive in telling him the desires of our heart, especially when we are lacking, maybe sometimes, the hunger to understand more of what his will is. And a relationship is a two-way street. As many people don't see results because they don't have the hunger or the desire to put in any effort. But the reality of that is that you are only going to see any kind of result in your walk with God when you put in the effort and express your desire to further understand him. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to listen to this wonderful song called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. So bless your hearts tonight and enjoy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be a part of your family. We thank you for the vision that you have for each and every one of our lives. We pray that you continue to open the eyes of our hearts so that we can continue to understand that we're with you because of your grace, Father, and because of what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for the privilege it is to hold forth your matchless word, Father. Not enough words can express our gratitude for that reality that we live as born-again ones. So I pray for these things, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.